Let me just mention a couple of things that are going on here coming up this week in the Senate. This is the last week of activity here in the Senate before the August recess that will begin on the weekend and will continue until about the 10th or 11th or 12th of September. So in this final week, the two main issues, this afternoon we're having a vote on whether or not to provide additional federal help to states, both for education funding to help them keep from laying off teachers, and also for the Medicaid program, the FMAP, the federal matching funding for Medicaid. That proposal that's going to be voted on this afternoon is fully paid for with reduced funding in other areas of the federal budget. And we'll see whether we have the necessary 60 votes to go ahead and approve that. It's not expected that we will, but the vote will occur at 5:45 today. After that, we will probably proceed to have some votes in the next day or two on a very slimmed down proposal for energy issues, and particularly it's a response to the spill that's occurred, the disaster that occurred in the Gulf of Mexico, to try to stiffen the safety requirements on companies that drill in the Gulf, try to ensure that there is not any artificial limit on the liability that they have for damage done in the Gulf, do a variety of things like that. There's also later in the week going to be a vote on Elena Kagan, the president's nominee for the Supreme Court, and that's expected probably on Thursday. So let me stop with that and see what questions anyone has. Elaine, did you have questions?
Yes, good morning, Senator.
Morning.
I do have a few questions, specifically about this slimmed-down energy bill. Could you briefly describe what remains in that bill now that it's been slimmed down?
Yes, it is. It's got four main elements. The first, of course, is this response to the disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. And there's a variety of things in there to give the Department of Interior authority to restructure, to put more emphasis on safety, beef up penalties on companies that violate regulations. A second item there is the Homestar proposal, which is a program to provide assistance to folks who want to do energy efficiency improvements in their homes. That's a bill that has been here both in the House and the Senate under consideration for some time. We had a hearing on it in our Energy Committee, and that's part of it. A third part of the legislation that will be voted on this week relates to transitioning us more quickly from use of so much gasoline in the transportation sector to more use of natural gas in the transportation sector, and also to more use of electric vehicles in the transportation sector. And the final piece that is in this legislation is full funding for the Land and Water Conservation Fund. This is a fund that was set up back in the 1960s to allow for both the federal government and state governments to acquire sensitive lands and areas that needed protection each year. Unfortunately, the Congress has not fully funded that each year, so this would provide that at least for the next 5 years, there would be full funding for that Land and Water Conservation Fund.
Senator, there was a lot of support in some arenas for a cap and trade measure in that energy bill. You have long been supportive of that measure. What would you tell people who are disappointed that measure has not been included in the slimmed down energy bill?
Well, I would just tell them that I think the majority leader here in the Senate made the calculation and the determination that there was no way to get the votes necessary to proceed to a bill that had that provision in it. that we didn't have 60 votes clearly in the Senate, and we had closer to 50 votes. With that conclusion having been reached by the majority leader, he determined not to include that in anything that he brought to the Senate at this time. It's very possible that we won't have the 60 votes even to proceed with this very slimmed down bill. Frankly, it's getting more and more difficult as we approach this fall's election to get Republican support for bills of any kind. And so the majority leader thought his best chance of getting that support was to do a bill of the type I described.
What is your responsibility as chair of the Energy Committee as far as moving forward proposals that you support in and garnering support for them, things like cap and trade? What's your perspective as chair of the Energy Committee?
Well, we've reported not a cap and trade bill out of our committee, but I introduced a cap and trade bill a few years ago that I thought was worthy of consideration. We've reported a renewable electricity standard out of our committee. We've reported a lot of other very useful policy proposals. We have some bipartisan support for those. Now, I've urged that they be brought up before the full Senate. The majority leader has not been able to do that and has not found time on the Senate schedule to do that. The decision as to what actually comes before the Senate for consideration is a decision the majority leader makes under the rules.
Thank you, Senator.
Bill Dupuy.
Good morning.
Morning.
The president has reaffirmed his decision to end combat operations in Iraq by the end of August. That's coming up in fewer than 30 days. What isn't said, however, is any role of contractors. Are we, and there is a large force of contractors, no one seems to know the precise number, but are we to believe there's going to be a continuation of combat operations in Iraq by a mercenary army of private contractors?
Well, I certainly don't believe that's the case. It's my understanding that the combat activities we've engaged in there have been done by uniform military and not by private contractors, and that there is no plan to have any of any combat work or activity engaged in by private contractors. Most of them are there to provide security for the both the civilian and military personnel that are there.
At one point, there were as many, if not more, of them than there were uniformed service members. Are they included in the most recent appropriation to keep things going in Iraq?
Yeah, I think that there is funding to maintain what private contractors are needed there. But as I say, they're not engaged in any combat activity as far as I understand it.
Two big numbers came out of Washington in the past week. Maybe not by coincidence, they're very similar. One is a $1.4 trillion deficit. The other is the tally so far on the cost of the Iraq and Afghan wars of $1 trillion. With that kind of cost going on, might we assume that we could have solved the deficit problem had there not been wars? And is it appropriate to continue that operation in Afghanistan in the face of that deficit?
Well, I think the very large deficit is the deficit for this year, and I think the $1 trillion cost of the wars is a cumulative number since we began our engagements over there. I think that the deficit we're running this year, the $1.4 trillion, could not be. You wouldn't expect to offset that with a 9 or 10 year cumulative reduction in spending. I do think that there's no question the deficit is way too large. There's no question that we need to begin to find ways both to reduce spending in the military and other places, and we need to find ways to get some additional revenue in coming years so that we can. So that we can reduce the size of that deficit, get back to where we have a balanced budgetary situation.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that number.
Sure.
That's it for me for a second.
Okay. John Milholland, are you there?
Yes, I sure am, Senator.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, I just had one question. I wonder if you could address the border security issues that are currently involved in. What is the progress that's been made on that? What are the proposals? And do you see any resolution in the short term?
Well, if you look at the last several years, there's been substantial progress made in improving security along the U.S.-Mexico border. We've added a great number of Border Patrol agents. We've added a great deal in the way of fencing and vehicle barriers. The number of people trying to cross the border has dropped very dramatically, particularly in the U.S., in the New Mexico-Mexico portion of the border. So all of that is very positive. We still have a ways to go. There's no doubt that we still have folks that are coming across the border and trying to come across the border. And the president's decision to put additional troops down in a support role for the Border Patrol is one that I think makes some sense. So that will help to some extent over the next year. I think those troops are expected to be there over the next year.
Oh, all right, sir. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Great.
Elaine, did you have any other questions? I guess we lost Elaine. Bill, how about you?
On the question of the border issue, there are questions about the Wilderness Preserve, Wilderness Zone, and the Oregon Mountain area as being potentially a place for illegal immigrants and smugglers to hide out. What's your thought on that?
Well, the bill that I've introduced, along with Senator Udall, is clearly intended and designed to eliminate that problem. At the current time, there are wilderness study areas as close as a mile to the border, which there is some restriction on travel by Border Patrol officials if they're on regular patrols. What we're doing is pulling that boundary back to a point 5 miles north of the border, and basically saying in the area between the border and 5 miles north of the border, there is full ability by the Border Patrol to patrol in any way they want, and even above that, in any wilderness area that might be designated. There is full authority of the Border Patrol to go into those areas as necessary in pursuit of anyone.
What are chances of your bill getting traction?
Well, the bill has come out of the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, so we have now reported the bill, and we hope that when the Congress returns into session in September, we'll be able to package it with other public land bills and get consideration of that on the Senate floor and pass it, get it to the president for signature.
On another topic, the Palo Solari, the Santa Fe Indian School, says they've now sent a formal letter to you and Senator Udall taking you up on your offer to raise federal money for the renovation of the amphitheater. They continue to insist it's $4.5 million. Anything less probably won't work. Have you got the letter? And if so, or even if not, what would be progress toward getting some sort of funding?
Well, I haven't seen the letter, and I think what we would do next would be to sit with the BIA and try to analyze what the various elements are that go into that estimate and determine whether or not the estimate is a realistic one and whether or not it could be justified considering the uses of that facility.
When it comes to this type of appropriation, how long might it take?
Well, I think that it would probably take the next appropriation cycle to get something like that done. We are well through the appropriation cycle for this year. Many of the appropriations bills have already come out of the Appropriations Committee and therefore are somewhat finalized. So I think we would be looking at the next appropriation cycle, which would be in 2011.
So it could take the better part of the coming year to get something done.
Well, if, depending again on the size of the renovation that was required and the amount of funds that were required, if a determination were made that it was worth the effort and worth the cost, then it would probably take into next year.
Okay, that's it for me. Thanks.
Okay, let me see if John had anything more. John, are you still there?
Yes, I am, and no more questions, sir. We're looking forward to seeing you in New Mexico.
Okay, I'm looking forward to getting there. Thanks.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.